Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. These are very exciting, awesome days as we're approaching the Feast of Pentecost, which will be celebrated next Sunday. And last week we covered Jesus in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, telling his disciples about the other paraclete, the other teacher, the other advocate who was to come, and the things that he was to do, things he was going to do. And he also indicated to them that he was the Spirit of truth and was going to lead them into all truth. And today, and we're going to talk about that obviously much more for over the next at least 2 or 3 weeks, but today I thought we'd talk about something that I don't usually do, and that is the ascension of Jesus. Traditionally, this was 40 days after the resurrection is being celebrated in most churches today, Sunday. And so I thought we would do a teaching about that, since I can't remember if I've ever done one on the Gift of Grace or not. But anyway, we're going to do it. And we are going to go to Acts chapter 1 as the basis, of course. And it's interesting to point out that the book of Acts, written by Luke, of course, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And it's very interesting to realize that if you add up the total number of verses, if you take into account the total number, the total amount of writing, Luke actually wrote more of the New Testament than Paul did. But that doesn't really matter to our lesson. So he wrote the book of Acts, and it's again addressed to this man named Theophilus, who, you know, in Greek means God lover. We don't know whether this was a real person, whether he represented believers in general, whether it was kind of a code name because persecutions were going on. But regardless, the book of Acts is addressed to Theophilus. And it begins essentially with the ascension. It begins with Jesus giving a slightly different account of the Great Commission than the one that Matthew gives in his gospel. But it gives the Great Commission, and he again calls the Spirit coming the promise of the Father, and also tells them, just like he does in Matthew, to stay in the city and not leave the city until the promise of the Father is fulfilled. And then he points out to the disciples that they'll be clothed with power, and then they can preach the word in Jerusalem, through Judea, through Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And obviously, he's indicating to them that they are going to need this power in order to be able to do that. And as I said last week, up to this time, their track record wasn't that great. And he knew, of course, at that time that if they started preaching right that moment, that things would not have gone well. So he says, don't try to do anything until you're clothed with power from above, which I think is a very important concept. And that, of course, applies to all of us, not just them, that we need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to embolden us, to tell us what to say and when to say it and to whom to say it. And so these things that apply to those apostles also apply to us. And I'm sure you've had experience with the Holy Spirit showing you who to evangelize and what to say and how to approach a certain person. But we'll talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. Now, we're going to go to Acts, we're in Acts chapter 1, and if we go down to verse 9, it says, "Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." So this is the account of the ascension. And it's interesting how brief it is for such an amazing event. You know, when we talked about Palm Sunday quite a few weeks ago now, it's such an amazing event. Actually, it has a short description of the preparation. Actually has kind of a short description of the overall unfolding of the event. Here, it's really the end of Jesus' earthly mission. And now, if you want to look at it that way, his ministry is changing to now, it's the beginning of his heavenly work. I shouldn't say beginning. It's the continuation of the heavenly work, but in a different way than it was before the incarnation, before he came to earth as Jesus of Nazareth, before his sacrifice, before his resurrection. He goes back to where he was before, of course, but now, as we see from Paul and several of his epistles and the writer to the Hebrews, they say that he now sits at the right hand of the Father, continually making intercession for us. So because he's the eternal high priest, he now sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. Like every high priest, every priest stood before the people and God. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the God-man, stands between the people and God, intercedes for the people that he died for, and has put his blood on the mercy seat which is in heaven, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us. He went through the heavenly veil with his own blood to constantly make intercession for us. And so this amazing event, which takes place really with very few words, virtually no preparation, because as you see, the apostles really didn't know what was about to happen. And in fact, it takes pains to tell us that while he was still talking, he starts to rise and be taken from their sight. So it happens as they watched. So this whole plan of salvation, which, as we talked about last week, I think, was made before the foundation of the world, was made before anything was created, now shows us at this point that the Messiah's ministry on earth is over. His ministry, of course, is never over, but as physical Jesus of Nazareth being on earth, his ministry is over. And as he said last time, and as he said several other times, especially in John's gospel, until he was glorified and until he went back to the Father, the other paraclete, the Holy Spirit, could not come. And so he had told those guys, it's good for you if I leave, because then the other paraclete can come. And that's going to be good for you. So while they were looking at him and while they were conversing with him, he begins to ascend. And so this was a very powerful moment, obviously. And they were witnesses of this in, you don't even have to say real time, they were witnesses of this physically standing there with him. as the ascension began. And they knew he was going up into heaven. They knew he was going into the sky. And he did it there with them. He didn't just vanish. He could have instantaneously gone to the right hand of the Father. He could have just disappeared and then been where he was before. But he didn't just vanish. He didn't go to some other place and do it. He didn't walk away from them and then do it from some other place. He did it right in front of them. They knew where he was going. And this opened their eyes even more to the glory that he had. They had seen miracles. They had seen healings. They had seen him glorified at the Transfiguration. They had seen him after the resurrection. But this was an episode that showed even more of his glory. As they watched him go into the sky, it kind of got their view away from their everyday life on earth. They were used to walking with him. They were used to sitting with him. They were used to eating with him. They were used to listening to him teach. They were used to him saying human things like, "I'm tired, I'm going to go to sleep now," or "I'm hungry, let's get something to eat," or whatever, you know, sort of normal human interactions are. To now they see him glorified in a totally different way, and it takes their attention away from the earth, gives them a much bigger view of the kingdom. And a much bigger view because now they understood that Jesus was not going to stay on the earth. He had told them that. They didn't want him to leave. Whenever he said he was going to leave, they kind of got sad about it. But now they understood that he was in fact leaving, that his work on earth had finished, was completed. As he said on the cross, it is finished. And now this is another episode of "it is finished." And he was going back to where he would be interceding in the ministry of the high priest at the throne. And so the laws of nature are totally overwhelmed by this because he ascends into the clouds right before them, right while they're talking to him, showing that he's the master of the universe. All the universe is subjected to him. And he is, in fact, going to sit at the throne of David. Like the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary, his mother, that he would sit on the throne of his father David forever. And he was going there while they were talking to him. So they understood this was not going to be just for Israel now. This was going to be for the whole world. And of course, I don't think they understood it completely, but they got a more complete understanding of it. And he disappears. It says he disappears into a cloud. You know, clouds are very important in the scriptures. There was the glory cloud, the Shekinah, that led the people through the wilderness. And God spoke out of the cloud when he spoke to Moses. And the cloud resided on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. When the cloud rose up and started to move, the people would break camp and move. When the cloud stopped, the people would stop, set the camp up, and stay there until the cloud started to move. And this was, of course, in the wilderness. And when you study Torah, you can get the details of this, which are very important. But the New Testament counterpart, of course, is that the Holy Spirit guides us to where we go, guides us to what we do, tells us when to move, tells us when to stop, leads us to where he wants us to go, and for the amount of time that he wants us to stay there. Sometimes they were in the camp for a few days, and sometimes they were there for 14 months, 16 months. And so the cloud, the very presence of God, told them when to move and how long to stay, just like the Holy Spirit tells us in our life now in the 21st century. God had come down to speak to Moses in a cloud. God spoke out of the cloud. The cloud covered Mount Sinai when Moses was there being given the law. There was also a cloud at the Transfiguration, which was a bright cloud that the Father's voice came out of. So now he, the Messiah, is going up into a cloud. This is really cool. He's going up into a cloud. The writer to the Hebrews says, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. There's so many witnesses in the heavens that they're like a cloud. You know, when the Son of Man returns in the clouds, the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses, is going to be coming with him. If we're there then, we're going to be coming with him. So the mediator between God and man, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the mediator returns to heaven, and then more grace and mercy pours down from heaven. And the other thing that these guys would have been thinking about, I think, and even though they weren't educated, they had heard the readings of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, every Saturday morning at the synagogue, they would have been familiar with Daniel in chapter 7 at verse 13, because Daniel's having visions. He says, you know, as the night visions went on, he saw one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven and come to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him in the clouds as he came near before him. So in this book of Daniel, in chapter 7, it says one like the Son of Man is in the clouds of heaven, just like they're seeing Jesus now rising through the clouds of heaven, basically. And there were probably clouds in the sky as well. And through the clouds, he's presented to the Ancient of Days. So this is something else that should have been going through their heads because they had heard these readings. And being human beings, we're going to get to these angels because this always kind of cracks me up, because being human beings, these guys are staring. I mean, they just saw their friend lifted up off the earth, going through the sky, disappearing in a cloud. And they had no idea this was going to happen. They didn't know what to expect next. They were still waiting for him to establish the kingdom, which was their idea of Messiah. So maybe they thought the heavens would open up again and he would come back and this would be the kingdom. They're waiting to see what's going to happen. They were also, along with being amazed, like I mentioned before, kind of sad that he was gone. They had been 3 years together. And then, like in so many other places, two angels come. Now, angels are messengers. We use the word angel from the Greek word angelos, which is a messenger. The Hebrew word malach is a messenger. It's the same concept of our word angel. Even though Jesus has been gone for maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, he already sends two witnesses to minister to these apostles, to minister to his friends. Another confirmation that there was a world beyond this one, that Jesus was now in it, back to where he had been before, and that he had sent these two messengers, these two angels, from there. This was a transition to something new. From now on, they would be experiencing Jesus in a different way than they had been for the 3 years that they walked with him, talked with him, heard him, ate with him, hung out with him, probably told some jokes and laughed with him. Now they were going to experience him in a totally different way. This was a transition time. And they also would be, as you read through the book of Acts and as you read through some of the epistles that would come later, there was interaction of some of these men with angels, especially Peter. You know, the angel comes and gets him out of the prison, opens the gate in front of him and says, come on, let's go. First, he has to wake him up. Angels don't have to sleep, but Peter was asleep, and the angel has to wake him up before they can go. And I think Peter must have been a pretty sound sleeper. I don't know. But anyway, so they were going to start having experiences with angels as well. But angels are fellow creatures. We don't worship angels. We don't think angels are somehow totally superior to us. They are in some sense. But as I always say, for those of you that know me, there was no plan of salvation for the angels that fell. God does nothing to redeem the angels that fell. But he sends his son to die for human beings that fell. Really quite amazing. That's why Peter says the angels want to look into this because they don't get it. And this angel calls them men of Galilee. Now, they were in Jerusalem, right outside of the city. The Mount of Olives is right by the eastern gate, but it's probably about, I don't know, half a mile or so from the gate. It's a little bit of a walk. So they're not from that area. The angel calls them men of Galilee. It kind of reminds them of their origin, being simple, kind of backwoods, uneducated people. But he says, why are you sitting here looking at this? Why are you standing here looking at the sky? You got to, let's go. You know, we got work to do. And we got works to do. Let's stop looking up at the sky and let's get back into the city. And you better start praying because the other paraclete is coming in a very few days. And then you're going to have a lot of work to do. So angels had come to announce his birth. And now angels announce that he's gone back to heaven now, and now the work is going to be yours. So stop looking at the sky and let's go. And they also confirm what he had said before, that he would come back in the same way, to the same place. He left from the top of the Mount of Olives. When he comes back, his feet are going to touch the top of the Mount of Olives, and the mountain is going to split in two. And he's going to come back in the same body that they saw him leave. They told them, the same way you saw him go, he's going to come back. He's going to come back in this glory. He's going to come back to judge. He's going to be going from the suffering servant to the Lion of Judah, coming back as King of the universe. He's not going to be a lamb. He's not going to be meek and mild. He's going to be King of the universe. He's going to be a lion. And it's the same Jesus. The same body that you guys just saw go up is going to come down. And he's coming back in the clouds, just like you saw him leave in the clouds. And there's going to be the saints and the angels all around, just like you're seeing now. So this should encourage us and should comfort us, because now it gives us the knowledge that we've been commissioned by him, as they were when he gave them the Great Commission. He had given them their credentials, had given them the orders of what they were to do, go and make disciples, and that by extension applies to us. That he is in heaven interceding for us, that the other paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is motivating us, empowering us, emboldening us, telling us the truth, guarding the truth, teaching us what the scripture means, because after all, he wrote the scripture. The Holy Spirit breathed out the scripture. You can read 2 Timothy 3:16 for your homework. So all these things should encourage and they come and should comfort us. And I think these men probably got really excited. And it says they left the Mount of Olives and they went back to Jerusalem. A Sabbath day's journey. That was roughly about 1,000 steps, 1,000 paces. And they went back to the upper room. Because in a very few days, they'd be filled with the power. Whew, so that's the ascension. So, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And join us again next week, where we're going to talk about Pentecost. So, have an awesome week.